He has to learn this year Ezra Nechemya. Yes, yes. Now, Ezra Nechemya, the reason why I doctor wanted to learn Ezra Nechemya, because I'll be very honest with you, I have two interests. One is Ezra Nechemya. I happen to be very interested in this Svarim. I don't have the opportunity to usually learn them or teach them, but I have a second interest. And my second interest is, I won't call it a hidden interest, I say it overtly. I want to examine the Aliyah that took place or that didn't take place in the days of Ezra Nechemya, and I hope to, shall we say, extrapolate from there to Jewish communities throughout the world and their perspective of Aliyah. That is a secondary interest that I have in this Sefer, but my primary interest is to examine this Sefer, to try to understand the motivation of why people did not make Aliyah during the days of Ezra Nechemya, or why the numbers were rather few, they were few in number, what the challenges were. And the course of it, I'm also going to examine the Sefer as well. Now, generally when I learn Tanakh, those who know me or those who have heard me on Na'alet.com, there is such a site, which I said Shiurim on all Sefer Yirmiyo, and about 50 or 60 Pesukim in Tehillim, I'm into structure in a very serious way. And that will come later on. First we have to see the text and learn the basics of what this Sefer is all about. Another item of interest to me is, I'm not sure, and I'm going to ask you the question, why there are two Svarim that seemingly are more or less addressing the same issue. Ezra Nechemya, more or less were contemporaries, and the issue they addressed, of course, is the issue of coming back to Eretz Yisrael, and why the necessity for two Svarim? So in order to answer that question, you have to know both Svarim. You have to be familiar with them. So I would even suggest to you, if you have a chance, I'm not being the chayyu to do anything, but I'm asking you, if you have a chance, just to review, overview Ezra Nechemya. I will be honest with you. I, on an ongoing basis, learn Tanakh, but I just learned Pesukim. Not Rashi, not Radak, not Malbim, not Rav Sadia Gaon, and I try every year to go to Tanakh 5 times a year. I've been doing it for a fair number of years, since I came to Eretz Yisrael. That really motivated me, it really spurred me on. I have to love Tanakh. I find Tanakh to be so exciting and so enjoyable, and there are two approaches that I have to Tanakh. One is a structural approach, a literary approach, if you will. And then the second approach is, I want to derive from Tanakh lessons, all kinds of lessons. Lessons of behavior, lessons of ethics and morality, historical lessons that are important for Klal Yisrael. And that's what I'm going to try to share with you in the course of learning Ezra Nechemya. So it's once a week, from 6:10 to 7 on Monday nights. But in order to, just a little background, I refer you to the Gemara Bavasa, and Daf Yudalel of the Beis. This is a very famous Gemara. I really don't want to focus on this extensively, but maybe even today it may be worthwhile. You should have some sense of the background of how Tanakh was canonized and how exactly what the procedure was. I'm reading a Braisa and Daf Yudalel of the Beis. Everyone see where it says Tanakh bottom? This is 3 lines above the white lines. Above the white lines and Daf Yudalel of the Beis, the Gemara says Tanakh bottom. Everyone have that? ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל יהיה בדברו. תנא רבנן סדרן של נביאים. The Gemara says, what is the order of the svarim that I found in the nevi'im? Yoshua, number 1. Shoftim, number 2. Shmuel, number 3. Notice the Gemara does not distinguish between Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet. The Gemara assumes that it's one sefer. That division of Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet clearly is a later revision, I'll call it, and exactly where it came from is the subject of a lot of discussion. But from the Gemara standpoint, there's one Sefer called Shmuel. Aleph and Bet, there's no distinction. By the way, you understand why the Sefer was divided into two. At what point is the Sefer divided? What is the moment where Shmuel Bet enters the scene, if you remember? You have a Tanakh in front of you? Let's take a look for a second. What is the dividing line between Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet? Look, you must have a Tanakh here, because they're going to refer to a lot of Pesukim in Tanakh. But what happened at the end of Shmuel Aleph? Correct? And the beginning of Shmuel Bet? The end of Shmuel Aleph, as you know, is the famous hesped that was given by David HaMelech for Shaul and his son. And it's a hesped which is really absolutely mind-boggling. And then, in the beginning of the death of Shaul, as you point out, is correct. The beginning of Shmuel Aleph actually discusses almost as if we are catapulting a bit back, because you know there's a stira. I assume you're familiar with the stira between the end of Shmuel Aleph beginning of Shmuel Bet. There's a contradiction in Psukim, namely how did Shaul die? Did Shaul die as a result of falling on his sword and committing suicide? Or did Shaul die because he was killed by one of the Amaleki that actually is described over here in the Psukim? It seems to be an outright contradiction. But the division, as you said correctly, is the death of Shaul. Now what happened with the death of Shaul? Essentially, what did that prepare? That prepared the way, or paved the way for whom? For David HaMelech. So this seems to be the division between Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet. However, that alone should not really justify dividing the Sefer into two. The fact that Shaul died and David HaMelech is about to ascend the throne, or the preparations of David HaMelech, that itself per se would not really warrant dividing the Sefer. Okay, I'm not focused on that right now, I'm just mentioning it. Next, the Melachim, notice by the way, we have Melachim Aleph, Melachim Bet. The Gemara doesn't have such a thing. And again, you could look to see why the division was made. Now, I want to go further. Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yeshaya. By the way, the order that we normally are accustomed to speak about is Yeshayo, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel. Isn't that so? Take a look in your Tanakh and see what the order is. Look at the Tanakh that you have. If you're carrying a Tanakh with you, I hope you are. If not, it's good eye to obtain one. What's the order? Correct. And yet the order that the Gemara presents here in the Braisa is what order? It represents the order of Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yeshaya. Why is that so? You can conjecture. First, chronologically, let's start with that. What is the correct chronological order? Did they more or less live at the same time? We're talking about the Nevi'im who lived during which period of time? Yes, but during the period of the... Are they all involved in some form of fashion with the Churban HaMikdash? Yirmiyahu HaNavi. What does he, shall we say, prophesy about? The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Which Beis HaMikdash? Yirmiyahu HaNavi, which one was he involved in? The first, thank you, Baruch Hashem. Namely, the one that was destroyed by whom? By my friend Nevi, Nebuchadnezzar. Correct? The Babylonian Empire destroyed the Mikdash, and Yirmiyahu essentially spends the whole Sefer trying to basically muster the people to death about the upcoming Korban. That's what he does. That's the whole Sefer Yirmiyahu. What about the other Svarim in Tanakh? The running for election or something? Anyway, what about the other Svarim in Tanakh that I mentioned here? Yishayahu. What does Yishayahu do? What's the tochen of Yishayahu? What is the content? What basically, is he also a Navi who is involved with the Korban? The answer is, of course he is. What's the distinction between Yirmiyahu and Yishayahu? Why do we need two Nevi'im? Why shall we say prophesying destruction of the Churban HaMikdash? Is there a necessity? Is there a distinction between them? Of course there is. What's the major distinction between Yirmiyahu and Yishayahu?
Good cop, bad cop.
Good cop, bad cop. Which one is the good cop and which one is the bad cop?
Yishayahu is the good cop.
Why do you call him the good cop as opposed to Yirmiyahu? By the way, they did not like Yirmiyahu, that is for sure.
Yeah.
They tended to do him in and even throw him into a pit. Just to kill him and get rid of him. And they almost succeeded, correct?
Yes.
But why do you call Yishayahu the good cop?
Because there's a distinction.
What is the distinction, since you already are?
The people like Yishayahu.
Why is that so, as opposed to
Yirmiyahu? He probably says nicer things, essentially.
Okay. Yesh b'zeh mashu. You are probably familiar also with the... Even the language of Yishayahu is markedly different than the language of Yirmiyahu. The Gemara actually, interestingly enough, the Gemara makes an analogy between Yishayahu, and the Gemara compares Yishayahu to contrast Yishayahu with Yechezkel HaNavi. Yechezkel, by the way, also, is there discussion of the Churban HaMikdash and Yechezkel?
Yes.
So these three have something in common. They're all, more or less, the common denominator, they're all focused on the Churban HaMikdash. The Gemara says the Chagiga, the distinction between Yechezkel and Yishayahu, one is called a Ben Krach, and one is called a Ben Ir. That's what Michael is referring to. What does Ben Krach mean? He is a, shall we say, that correct. One is a city boy, and the other one is a
city boy.
No.
Town boy.
One is a village. City boy, and the other
village.
One is
village.
A villager. Which one is not which? Yechezkel is a Ben Kfar. The Pesukim in the beginning, Yechezkel HaNavi, and Yishayahu is of course a Ben Krach, and that's reflected in their language and in their approach and many distinctions. Now, I don't want to. I'm about to tell a story. I really shouldn't tell the story, but I must tell it. I have no control of myself. The Rav, Zecheinu Livracha, he actually asked us once, I don't know, out of nowhere, why is it that Jimmy Carter, there was a president of the United States called Jimmy Carter, he was a peanut farmer, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, so why is that Jimmy Carter was not reelected? He actually wanted to be reelected. Obama was reelected a second time, but Jimmy Carter was not. Why did he lose the presidency? So the Rav had the following suggestion. And don't, I'm not chas v'sholom drawing an analogy, but I just want to give you, God forbid, am I comparing these Nevi'im to Rahman al-Islam, to Jimmy Carter, who I am not a chassid of Bichlal. He's not a fan of the state of Israel either, and therefore in my eyes, of course, automatically he loses credibility. But the Rav said the following. When Jimmy Carter came to power in the White House, he essentially turned the White House into a peanut farm. What do I mean by that? The White House has come out the only vestige of, you want to call royalty, nobility, left in the United States. There's very little left. In England, you know, they have, of course, the Queen, with all the royal plumage that's associated with it. Not getting into all the details. And I, myself, this summer, when the little chap was born, how much time and the English, what they were doting on this little fella and on his mother when she was expecting, etc., 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 and what his name is going to be. You cannot imagine the amount of time people squandered and frittered away on this. Because in England, the Queen and all the different, shall we say, personalities, who each one is a bigger whippersnapper than the other, but all those personalities gives them a certain, shall we say, how shall we put it? A certain kind of stature. When you go to Buckingham Palace, correct? I don't know, Michael, you've gone to Buckingham Palace. I went to Buckingham Palace. I also went to England too. It's called, actually, there's a corner, Hyde's Corner, where you get up on a podium, and I actually did that myself. I have this in me to do it, and I proceeded to lambast the English, because I indicated to them they still are suffering from the fact that they are no longer the empire they thought they were, and to a large extent, they really now are subservient to the United States, and they've been that way really their entire lives. I went on that, and then I saw people start getting angry, gathering around me. I decided to leave the scene at that point in time. But there's a place called Hyde Corner or Hyde Park, and you can actually get up there and say whatever you want to say, and that's what I did. Why am I telling you all this? So when President Carter became the president, he decided no longer is there a need for people to dress formally in the White House. They could come and dress in their, what I call, Farmer Jones outfits. And that's exactly what they did. Not only that, they were brown bagging. You know what brown bagging means? They came with their tuna fish sandwiches in their brown bags. Said Rav Soloveitchik, he essentially completely eviscerated or expunged or totally and completely denuded the White House of any vestige of royalty that might have been left. And as a result, it became one big peanut farm. That's why he was not reelected. People lost all the derecharis. That's Rav Soloveitchik's theory. I thought that was wondrous. Okay, I'm not comparing it to Yecheskel, Lahavdil Me'avalfi Abdol, to Yecheskel Yishayo, but the Chazal say that one was a bed ear and one was a bed crack. And if you look at the language of Yecheskel Anavi and the language of Yishayo, it is markedly different one from the other. Markedly. Yishayo literally is, the language is much more sophisticated, much more poetic. Prose and poetry is all of Yishayo. And Yecheskel is much more, how shall I say, down to earth. I will put it in such a fashion, it's a terrible generalization, but you have to really appreciate it when you start learning it. Okay, I'm back over here. Do you have a copy of this? You have the Gemara. You have it right over here. Thank you. Please enjoy your drink. So we have... Oh, sorry, no, I have something right here. At least... Oh, I thought you had taken it. Yemiyo Yechesli Yishayo Shnei Masa. Whom are the Shnei Masa, of course? Trei Asar, known as the 12 minor prophets. Why are they called 12 minor prophets? Why is that so? The answer is, you'll see in a moment. Michti, the Gemara says, let us see. Hoshea Kodim. Hoshea apparently was the first, chronologically. Yitzit Tchilat V'Hashem Hoshea. It's the first pasuk in Hoshea. V'chiyim Hoshea Dibre Tchilat. Why? Hashem spoke to Hoshea first? What is the nature of that pasuk? Tchilat V'Hashem Hoshea. V'alom Yimoshe V'Hoshea Kam Nevi'im Oyu. And what does the Gemara say in Megillah? Where are you, Jacob? The Gemara in Megillah, how many Nevi'im were there? Kiflayim, remember that Gemara? Kiyotim Mitzrayim, there were Kiflayim, except the Gemara tells us that a very interesting cloud. Which Nevi'im are recorded in Tanakh? Only Nevi'im? Nevuah Shehutzach al-Hadaris Nichtav. Only the Nebuah that had, shall we say, a purpose, a meaning for generations, that was written down. But there were many, many Nebuah. I continue. Second line. There were four Nebuah who were concurrently prophesying. Hoshea, number one, Yeshaya. He's a contemporary. By the way, notice that sometimes the Gemara terms him Yeshaya. And what do we term him? Take a look here. What does it say here? Yeshaya. Chazon Yeshaya ben Amos. So why do people call him Yeshayahu? Yirmiyahu. Take a look here. What are they called? Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, as opposed to Yirmiyahu. Where does that come from? And where does Yeshayahu come from? Think about it. I continue over here. There are four Nevi'im who are concurrent. And they are Hoshea, Yeshaya, Amos, and Micha. Ask the Gemara. I'm just reading the Gemara quickly so you should get a whole sense of things. But the Kadmi Loshea Bereisha. So why doesn't Hoshea come first? Since his Nebuah is written together with Chagas Chayim Malachi, the Chagas Chayim Malachi, so Nevi'im Habu, they were at the end of the Tkufa of Nebuah, Chashu Le Badayu. So it's all brought together. Says the Gemara, Belichtave, the Chundi, the Kadme, why can't they go and write each one separately? Answers the Gemara, I did the Zuta Mirchas, translated. Since the Nebuah of these 12 prophets, minor prophets, Zutar, is very small, correct? We're talking about a few prokim that are found in each of them. Mirchas. The chashash was it would be lost. And so what did Chazal do? They put it all together. They put all 12 Nevi'im, called the Treyasa, together in order that it should be lost. A very balabatish reason. I continue. Mifti Yishayahu kadim Yirmiyah. V'Yecheskel. Who comes first? Yishayahu. Came before Yirmiyah and Yecheskel. L'kadmi L'shayah Bereisha. So shouldn't Yishayahu come first? And yet in the Brisa here in our Gemara. So by the way, not Tanakh. Which one comes first? Yeshaya, and then comes Yirmiyah, and then Yecheskel, the correct chronological order. But in the Brisa here, the order is different. The order is Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, Yeshaya. Yes, the Gemara, why is that so? So the Gemara answers, look at the answer of the Gemara. Kevin the Malachim, Sofei Churbana. What's the end of Sefer Malachim? The end of Sefer Malachim is Churban. V'Yirmiyahu, Kulei Churbana. The whole Sefer Yirmiyahu is Churban. V'Yecheskel, Reisha Churbana. Beginning of Yecheskel is Churban, Vesevin Nechemta. The end of Yecheskel is what? Nechama, what is Nechama? Words of consolation. V'Yishayahu Kulei Nechemta. That statement has to be examined carefully. Is Yishayahu Kulei Nechemta? There are many parts of Yishayahu that are Dibrei Nechama. And as you undoubtedly know, I hope so, that where the Dibrei Nechama in a very open way begin, in what parak Yishayahu do they begin? The parak that's read on Shabbos, Nachamu. What parak is that? The 40th parak of Yishayahu. So the first 39 parakim, though, would you say on the Chama? Maybe open up Yishayahu for a second. Did anybody here ever open up a Tanakh?
I did.
That's majestic. You must learn Tanakh. A Talmud Chacham has to be Mekusha v'Chavdala Kishutim. Talmud Chacham has to have 24 vestments. Kishutim, 24 adornments. What are the 24 adornments? It's only said for Tanakh. Everybody learns Tanakh. You must learn Tanakh. Even if you haven't learned until now, take it upon yourself to learn every day 10-15 minutes of Tanakh. Pshat. Just pshat. Man, read the pasuk. Man. Just read the pshat. That's all you have to do. Do what I do 5 times a year, learn all Tanakh. And of course, 19 years, you have learned it how many times? Tens of times.
Does that mean the Rosh Hashanah is almost done?
I don't necessarily follow the calendar of Rosh Hashanah, it's not my calendar, but I carry Tanakh with me in my car and come out everywhere I go. And any spare moment I have, I learn Tanakh. Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's how I myself saw him by many chasanas, and what he would do while he was waiting for the procedures to go on, he would have 2 svarim in front of him. One was the Tanakh, one was the Mishnayos, and he would literally flip pages. Of course, Rav Moshe knew the whole Tanakh by heart. He also knew the whole Bavli by heart, and Yerushalmi, and Dalchan Shulchan by heart. He would flip pages of Tanakh and Mishnayos. Rabbi Nevin Sol Shalita, Shashem Yarech Yomav, knows everything as well bal peh. Knows the entire Tanakh bal peh, word for word, mila by mila. I mentioned it the other day.
Why do we need this one?
Because of people like me who don't have that kind of knowledge of Tanakh. But take a look at the beginning of Yishayahu. You tell me, Parak Aleph. You should be familiar with Parak Aleph, because these are some of the Haftaris. You are aware that before Tisha B'Av we have what's called Shlashta de Puranusa, three Haftarot of Puranut. What's Puranut mean?
Punishment.
And then we have the Shimon and the Chemta, seven Haftarot of Consolation. Where do the Haftarot of Puranut come from? Some of them come from Yishayahu. So what is the Gemara saying here, Kulei Nechemta? What in heaven's name is the Gemara talking about? He's belied by the text, Daniel. The text right over here. Take a look at Perek Aleph of Yishayahu. Not just Perek Aleph. Here, like say, Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud. Hashem is talking to us. Shemu Dvar Hashem Ketzinei Sdom. Hashem compares us to Sdom V'Amora. That doesn't sound like Nechama to me. Maybe Ariel to you, but it doesn't sound like Nechama to me. And then he's lambasting us for our Karbanot. We became fixated on Karbanot. We're into all these kind of what I call talisman. You know what a talisman is? Amulets, skulot. You're talking to a litvak. I'm a litvak shein kamavu. Anyway, so here you have what seems to be plenty of discussion of destruction of Khurban. So what is the Gemara saying here? Okay, this Gemara needs separate attention. I'm not discussing all these problems because I once gave a course on the Vua and I discussed this Gemara for 6 months. I'm not exaggerating. There's a lot to talk about here. I'm just raising the question. I'm only interested in getting to one point, which we'll get to as a Mechemda. Obviously, that's why I'm learning this Gemara. I go further. The Gemara says, so this, the Treyos are minor prophets, and there's not a lot of material. In order to keep it together, we combine them into one Sefer. Nifti Shayahu Kadam Yirmi. Everyone following me? I'm now reading line number 6 for the wide lines down. Yishayah Prid Zirmiyah. Yecheskel. And Yecheskel falls upon the heels of Yishaya. Lekadmi the Shai Bereisha. The answer is came to the Malachim Sofi Churbana. Malachim ends with Churban. Yirmiyah Skulei Churbana. Yecheskel the beginning with Churban, and the end of the Chama. Yishaya is all the Chama. Samchin and Churban and Churban and Lechemta and Lechemta. That means how have we put this run together thematically, not chronologically, but thematically. You understand, Daniel? I mean, since we have themes that are, shall we say, that run into each other, and we move along based on the themes, that's why we connect them the way we did. So there are really two different, shall we say, arrangements for these three svarim. One arrangement is based on what? A chronological arrangement. And the other arrangement is based on what? Thematic arrangement. I continue. Sidron Shol Ksuvim, and I assume you do are, I mentioned this already, what's the difference between the Vim and Ksuvim? Why are these called Ksuvim and these called the Vim? Or in general, define the term Navi as opposed to the term Ksuvim. Namely, yeah?
Navi,
yeah,
it's specific.
Based on the Vua, communication with Hashem, excellent. The word Niv means Nivs Vasayim, fruit of the lips, means someone communicating with Hashem and Ksuvim.
Ksuvim is just divine inspiration.
Excellent, beautiful what you said. Absolutely outstanding. Ksuvim is based on, if I can just use another term, Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, which is a lower Madrega than the Vua. This is found in all Rishonim. If you learn Masechet Megillah, this you know for a fact. Namely, the Gemara Megillah, Jacob Bar Avraham, referring to which Gemara at the beginning of Masechet Megillah. The Gemara distinguishes between Sefer and Daniel, correct, which is found as part of what? Of Hagiographa. It's part of the Hagiographa. Hagiographa referring to Ksuvim, correct? Mashen came. The Gemara is very first of Chagas Chai Malachi that I found in the Nevi'im. But we know Daniel, the whole Sefer, is replete with prophecies that talk about what? The four kingdoms. Correct? So that seems to be Nevuah. So why is that in Ksuvim? Why is Chagas Chai Malachi? And the answer is the Gemara over there, Megillah, with Rashi, that? What? Ah, okay, so we have to review Masechet Megillah. All of us, I have to review it also, except I have one advantage over here. I've learned about 30 times, but I remember a little bit more. But the Gemara says the following, that Daniel did not have any mission. He was not a shliach. His function was simply to record events or perhaps even prophecies, but it was no mission to go and tell Klal Yisrael. That's exactly what you just said a second ago. Masha'en came. Chagas Chai Malachi, he had a mission. A Navi means someone who communicates with Hashem, and he has a mission. He's delegated to do what? A shliach. To either the world at large or to arm yourself, for example, Yonah.
Didn't he receive Nevuah though?
Sorry?
Didn't he receive Nevuah for himself?
Yes. Though? That the fact is, that the fact, why is it in Ksuvim?
Because it wasn't expressed to other people.
That's correct. There was no Chiyim, that's, see, Rab Chaim, the Rab used to call Rab Chaim. You know Rabbi Chaim? One of the Rishonim, Rab Chaim Riska. So Rab Chaim Riska had the following distinction between the Nevuah and Ksuvim. And this is very fascinating. And probably it's a very true distinction. The Rishonim distinguish with terms of what you said between Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh. That's what they say. Ruach HaKodesh means, I'll call it a heightened awareness of the present. And the Nevuah is the ability to telegraph the future. That's the Pashim Shab that the Chavit Tzidvim
Ksuvim. But it can't be true because then the
what? Yeah. Okay, that's the problem with that. But Rashi, based on the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara says in Megillah right there about Gimel, the Gemara says that the Nevuah means that the Navi is a Shaliach to go and convey the Nevuah to others, whether it's a Gemeg, to call yourself, or to Umas Olam. Is Yonah? Is Yonah a Navi?
Of course.
Of course he is. We read Mapti Yonah on Kippur, as you would say. I know Kippur is, correct? To whom was his, shall we say, he had a mission, but the mission was addressed to whom? The Goyim, correct. Means it's possible. By the way, if you remember Yirmiyahu HaNavi, which undoubtedly you remember, at the very beginning of Yirmiyahu, what does the Navi say, Yirmiyahu? He says, Ribbono Shalom, V'terem etzarcha babeten yitaticha. V'terem teitze merechem higdashticha. Navi lagoyim ne'esaticha. Do you recall that? I love this guy. Anyway, Navi Lagoyim Nesaticha. That sounds like Yirmiyahu is a Navi for whom? Not only for Klal Yisrael, but also for Goyim. But Yonah for sure was for Goyim. But any Navi who has a Shlichus, who's on a mission, that makes him a Navi. Tzuvim, there's no Shlichus. That's what the Gemara says in Megillah and not Gimel. That's the chiddush between Navi and Tzuvim. But Rav Chaim adds to that. Rav Chaim said that a Navi, his primary function, the thrust of his Nevuah, was to be articulated to others, and then it was written down. Hashenkein Ksuvim, the thrust of it was to be written down. That's why it's called Ksuvim. Hagiographa, a Latin. That's why it was supposed to be written down, and then it may well also have elements of Nevuah, but that was not the primary thrust of it. Okay, I go back over here. So now, this is the Chilvitz of the Vim Ksuvim. By the way, among the questions that Rishenim are bothered by, there are certain Svarim in Tanakh that seemingly are in the wrong place. They're part of the wrong corpus. Corpus. Why does he look at me askance? They don't belong. They
two words.
They belong actually in a different place. For example, give me a Sefer Tanakh. Let me ask you. Sefer Tehillim, is that part of the Vim or Ksuvim? Ksuvim. Why is it part of Ksuvim? That seems to be fairly evident, fairly obvious. Maybe why is it Ksuvim? Correct. There's no Shlichus on the part of David HaMelech. Let's assume he wrote most of Sefer Tehillim, which he did. The exception of Saras Kedem, that's also Yerub Mabasa. But there are Svarim Tanakh that present a problem and are formidable challenges. They are part of something, but really I think they belong elsewhere. Give me an example of what I'm talking about. A Sefer that really pastures should be in one area when in reality it's in another area. I'm talking about something that pastures in Ksuvim, but really should be Nevi'im, or vice versa. Something that's in Nevi'im that should be Ksuvim. Give me an example of a Sefer, just think about it a little bit. Maybe you'll open up your Tanakh and perhaps you will. Yes?
Eicha.
What is Eicha part of?
Eicha's
from Ksuvim. Chamish Megillah is a part of Ksuvim. Why should it be part of the Nevi'im?
Because it's prophecy. It's prophecy should be Nevi'im.
Is there Divrei Nevuah in Eicha? I'm asking. You're assuming there is.
It's all about the further instruction in the first place in English.
And is that correct, your statement that you just made?
This is great.
Guess it's not.
It's correct. It's correct.
Okay, you have to look at Eicha carefully to see. But I'm asking the following: was Eicha essentially? By the way, who wrote Eicha? The Gemara is going to discuss it momentarily. Who wrote Eicha? When was it written? You have no doubt Eicha relates to the Churban HaMikdash. Ain't shum suffik. The question is: was it written prior to the Churban HaMikdash, or was it written, shall we say, as a result of the Churban HaMikdash? The Navi is lamenting the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Then it would not be the Nevuah.
Yeshua should be in the Torah.
What was that?
Yeshua should be in the Torah.
Let's now get to Yeshua. Excellent. Where should it be? In the Torah.
Yeah.
Why do you say what you just said? Based on the Gemara Nadar, I assume you refer to that Gemara. What Gemara Nadar am I referring to?
The Shinoah. It's been a very long time.
Do you have a Gemara Nadar here? Do you have one with you? Do you carry one? No, but I'm still waiting for the center that is problematic in terms of where it is and where it should be. Could you take a look at the Tanakh? You have a Tanakh in front of you, all of you?
Yeah.
Just take a look. Yeah. Look just
Yonah should be in... No.
Where should it be? Yonah is part of what?
It's part of Nevi'im.
It's three also. Yonah is not the problem. But take a look. Look a bit further. Look more carefully. There we are. Svarim in Tanakh that are problematic. Yes.
Eov.
Where is Eov part of?
Torah.
Eov is where?
part two, but yeah. Doesn't Rashi bring down that Eo with Moshe?
First of all, there's a question of number one, who wrote Eo? And question number two is, when Eov lived. As you know, there are many different opinions about when Eov lived. But Eov is certainly part of what?
Two.
Two, no question about it. There's no Nebu on Eov, ostensibly. But I'm asking, I'm looking for a specific Sefer or two. I'm surprised. I'm sure you can figure it out. You haven't looked at the Svarim and you're a Tanakh. Look at the little Tanakh that you have in front of you.
Ah, he's shy. Process elimination.
Yishayo is part of Nebu. Part of the being,
right?
Look at the Svarim, please. You have Svarim in front of you, yes. So Kahelas, well, is there Divin Nebuah there? Kahelas one of the Chamish Megillas, correct? Written by Shlomo
HaMelech. Not Kahelas, Rus.
So is there Divin Nebuah? No. Okay, I guess
either as with a chemi or
I want you to guess. It's not fair. It's not good that you're guessing. I want you to look at. Before I get to the one of the dark, could you please? You have a Tanakh in front of you. Is there a list of all the Svarim here? Of course, there is. The very beginning, there should be a list, no?
Yeah.
A chalom is a form of the world. The Gemara said at the end of Brachas. But if you, is there a list here of all the? I don't know if there's a list. Maybe not.
Yeah, we have a list.
Where is it?
I mean,
in our okay, so now go through each one and tell me. Let's skip the Chamish Chumshik Torah and let's continue beyond the Chamish Chumshik Torah. Let's start, for example, with one moment. We'll get that in a second. I'm headed for. But Yoshua is part of the VM. You must give that Yoshua. So that is there in the Bua in Sevi Yoshua.
Of course.
What is Yoshua essentially? Describe and what is contained in Sefer Yoshua? Excellent. You have defined it with precision in the most pithy fashion imaginable. I love it. Is there Nebuah in Yoshua? Doesn't sound like to me from your definition.
I don't think so. Actually.
I'm asking to you. So where does Yoshua belong?
In Tra.
Okay. Michael is saying that based on the Gemara in the Dark. The Torah says in the Dorim that had the Torah not been given to us, the only Sefer that would have been given to us is Sefer Yoshua. That's the Gemara. Okay, without getting into details, but my problem, here my problem, if Yoshua is, as you described it, and you described it correctly, that it's essentially the conquest and the apportionment of Eretz Yisrael, Ma Kesher Lenevuah. What's it doing in the Vian? Do you hear, guys? That is a serious conundrum. Raised by Gedolei HaRishonim. Is any other Sefer that would have a similar? Let's talk about Shoftim. What goes on in Shoftim?
The Israel sin.
Excellent. And then? Correct. And then?
It's again.
Over and over.
That's true. But the pattern is found in the second parak of Shoftim, and you're probably familiar with. The second parak, more or less, is a praise of the entire Sefer Shoftim. And the second parak, you see that what happens when we sin, then Hashem punishes us, then we become sad and depressed. And what does Hashem do? Then he has to go find the leader to, once again, what does he do? Revive us, and he's mechazik us. And then once again, we're coming back into his graces. And then, as Jeremy said, once again, we sin, and the whole thing begins again. Is any Nebu on Sefer Shoftim? What is Shoftim doing in Nebuah? It seemingly belongs where? Don't tell me the Torah, Michael. But where does Shoftim belong also? It does not belong in Nebuah. There's no Nebu over here. Or is there? Okay, so these are some of the questions that I'm just posing to you that you should be aware of. I'm back in the Gemara. I must get before 7 o'clock to Ezra Nechemia. I'm really behind the eight ball. I'm going further. Sidra, Shoksuv, and Rus, Sefer Tehillim, Eov, Mishlei, Kohelet, Shir HaShir, Kinos. What do Kinos refer to? Not the keynote speaker, but rather what's Kinos? Eicha, thank you. Eicha is called Kinos by the Gemara for obvious reasons, because Yirmiyahu was the one who said them. And he's here to Shlomo HaMelech. Daniel, Megillat Esther, Ezra, Divrei HaYomim. Well, the man, the Yomim, Eov, Bimei Moshe, Ayah, there's a machlokes in the Gemara when Eov lived. The whole Eov lives in days of Moshe Rabbeinu, L'kadmi, Eliyahu, Reisha. So then Eov should come first. The answer is, Aslu, Yiprodusa, Lama, Salina. We have a principle that's found in Megillah. Correct, Jacob? That Aslu, Yiprodusa, or Akdume, Yiprodusa, Lama, Kadmina, that's the Gemara, Dapay. But here the Gemara is saying another principle, Aslu, Yiprodusa, Lama, Salina. You don't begin with Puranus. You try to keep away from punishment and bad stuff. You try to keep away from that. Rus Nami Puranasi. What about the Puranas and Rus? Where's the Puranas and Rus? We have famine, we have Golus, the death of Elimelech. Come back the entire beginning of Rus. The answer is Puranas Islay Akris. That's a Puranas that what? It's a Yeridal Tzorach Aliyah. It's a Puranas that has an ultimate glorious future. Yam Rav Yechon, Lam Nikushma Rus, Shiatsim Men of David, who came out of Rus? David HaMelech, Shir Yula, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shir Tish Baruch Hu. Fine, I continue. Mi Kassan, Moshe Kassan Sifra, Moshe wrote his Sefer, HaMishim HaShetorah, Parshas Bilam. This is a very, very strange Gemara. Why the Gemara says, you wrote HaMishim HaShetorah, the Pentateuch, and Parshas Bilam. Is that not part of the Pentateuch? Okay, separate issue. Vio, Moshe also wrote Vio. Yoshua Kassav Sifra, he wrote Sefer Yoshua, Hushmad of Sifra Shabbat Torah. This you're familiar with. The last day of Sukkim and Chumash were written by Yoshua and not Moshe Rabbeinu, because they describe what? The last day of Sukkim? The death of Moshe Rabbeinu. What?
No, actually nothing.
Okay, Shmuel Kassav Sifra, Bishoftim, Shmuel wrote his Sefer, both as we call Shmuel Aleph and Bet, as I described earlier, and Shoftim Rus, and he also wrote Sefer Rus. David Kassav Sefer Tehillim, by the Asaras Kedim, by the other Risha, they Alki Tzedek, Adi Avram, Adi Moshe, Adi Heimel, Adi Dusan, Adi Avram, next page. Adi Shloshim Nekar, Yiri Yalkasa Sifro, Sefer Malachi Mekinos, Hizkiyo, Siyato Kasu, Yishaya, Mishlei, Shir Hashir, Vekohelis. Anji Gnes Agdola Kasu, Yecheskel, Mishnei Masar, Daniel, Megillas Esther, and now I'm up to what I'm interested in. Ezra Kazav Sifro. Ezra wrote his Sefer. Sefer Ezra was written by Ezra. B'yachas shel divrei hayamim ad mo. And also B'yachas, which refers to what? What's Yachas mean?
The lineage.
Lineage, correct? The Yichus.
What's it? No, I'm just quoting somebody.
Okay. B'yachas shel divrei hayamim ad mo. Till his own situation, that's what he wrote. And the Gemara says, Mesaile the Rab, this is a riot to Rab, Yomar Rab, Yehuda Marab, Lo Ola Ezra mi Bavel, Ezra did not make Aliyah from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ache Yiches Atzmo. What did he do, Ezra? That's one of the things we're going to see in Ezra. That what did he do? What was the problem during the days of Ezra and Nehemiah? You know what the problem was? We have the same problem today. It's called assimilation. Terrible assimilation. Not just assimilation, acculturation. Terrible acculturation. Not only acculturation, intermarriage.
That's bad.
The first two, with all due respect, are, shall we say, not so ay-ay-ay either. So we have intermarriage, assimilation, acculturation. So Ezra had to go ahead and literally identify the lineage of individuals. And then he went ahead and made Aliyah once he did so. Uman Aske. The Gemara asked the question over here. Who was the one, in effect, who was responsible, or who actually finished the process of the Aliyah? Nehemiah ben Chachalga. And these are the two Svarim that are going to learn Mitzvah Hashem this year, Ezra and Nehemiah. The Gemara says here that Ezra, in effect, came up from Bavel, and he only did so after he established Yichus of the people. He had to literally purify. And what Ezra did, and Nehemiah as well, you know, there are people who are Rahman al-Islam married to Goyim, and you know what they had to do? Break up those marriages. Of course, they're not marriages, it's al-Pi al-Loch. Some of the marriages are non-Jew, it's not considered to be a marriage, it's not Chal. So it says, Los Eschatim Bo. Anyway, the one who finished the process was Nehemiah, and obviously the Gemara seems to indicate that they are working in tandem, both Ezra and Nehemiah, and that is the Sefer that we're going to look at, Yitz Hashem, this coming year, I hope, or as long as we can, very, very carefully. Okay, I guess I'll stop over here, but please, Nether, I hope to continue this matter, and there's Hashem, I hope we'll be able to make, you must bring a Tanakh, I beg of you, to bring a Tanakh, because I'm referring to many Pesukim in Tanakh along the way. I love Tanakh, and I like to refer to Pesukim in Tanakh, and the very beginning of Ezra, I'm referring to Pesukim in Yom HaNavi, so if you don't have a Tanakh, you'll not be able to handle it and handle me. It's a problem to put this back over there.